Please open your Bibles to the book of Galatians, the 6th chapter, page 1247 in your Schofield Reference Bible, page 1247, Galatians chapter 6, and we'll be reading responsively the first 6 verses. And as we always do, shall we please stand for the reading of God's Word, once again reading the verses responsively. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man must bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. And the text verse for this morning is that first verse. And let's bow our heads, please, in prayer. Father, we thank thee that you've given us this time together this morning. We're grateful that the folks are here, some at some trouble because of the coldness, but they're here nonetheless, and we pray for thy help and thy blessing in our midst. Strengthen, bless, help, save. Father, we thank thee for meeting with us, and we thank thee in advance for that which thou art going to do. But bless now with thy spirit and power upon the preacher, and help us with attentive minds and open hearts to hear what the preacher says. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've heard me say often that our two jobs, biggest jobs, consist of, one, warning people not to go into sin, and two, reclaiming people who have gone into sin. And may I add this, you will find me a lot harder when I deal with one warning him not to go into sin than you will find me when I try to deal with one who's already in sin. You will find me a lot tender, a lot more compassionate when I'm trying to reclaim one who's already fallen than when I'm trying to warn you not to go. Oh, the blight of sin. The blight of sin. Its promises are lies. Its future is darkness. The awful, awful blight of sin. The tears that have fallen. The tears that have fallen on my carpet this week. If you could have seen them just in 1 week. If you knew what these ears have heard in the last 14 days. And if you knew what this heart has felt the last 2 weeks, you'd know why I hate sin so much. Little girl in the church, or boy, maybe a little child, tries to write down what I preach about. One Sunday morning or night after a sermon, went home and the mother looked at the notes, and all it said on the notes was, "Brother Hiles hates sin." I'm glad that's what the child got out of the sermon. Brother Hiles hates sin. Oh, the heartache. The heartbreak, the sorrow, the tragedy of sin. How deceiving is the evil one? How big a liar is the devil? There's something this morning that I think we perhaps should chat about for a while. And I wish that you'd give me your attention on purpose without me having to use any humor or dynamics to control your attention. I think perhaps we ought to sit together, the family, around the fireside for a few minutes and discuss a subject that every Christian ought to consider periodically. We've been together a long time. For 20 years, I've been your preacher, and for 20 years, numbers of you have been my people. Others of you have been with us for these 15 years, 10 years, 5 years. But our love for each other is not a passing fancy or a brief flirtation. The devotion that I feel for you and the devotion that I trust that you feel for me is not puppy love. It's not just a crush. We've been together. We have built buildings together. We have seen buildings burn together. We have won victories together. We have shared defeats together. We have built schools together. We have laughed together and cried together and seen our babies born and our aged buried. I think it's important that we stop to realize that as a people live and laugh and love and weep over a period of the years, each of us is going to have his mountaintops, and each of us will have his valleys. Today, maybe I'll be strong and you'll be weak, and I'll have to lift you. Tomorrow, maybe you'll be strong and I'll be weak, and you will have to lift me. Today, maybe you'll be tempted and I will not be, and I'll have to pray extra hard for you. Maybe tomorrow I'll be tempted and you will not, and you will have to pray extra hard for me. For after all, we're just a group of human beings here on a little ball going round and round in space. We know not from whence we came. We know little about where we're going. We have the same fears and apprehensions and frustrations and needs and heartaches and burdens to bear. But ladies and gentlemen, in our midst, as we all march toward the heavenly city, there will be from time to time those of us who will stumble and fall. I have a letter here. I read it on the broadcast of the day. One of the saddest things I've ever read in my life. A young man that used to sit in these pews. One of the finest young men we ever had. If I called his name, hundreds of you would know him. One of our bus kids. But not just a bus kid. He went to our schools. Went to our high school. Went to Hiles Anderson College for a while. And then he writes from the county jail, awaiting trial for a stupid, unbelievable crime. Brother Hiles, I don't know how to say what I did. I know I let you and my Lord down. I did commit some sin against myself. I'm sowing what I'm reaping. I'm sorry to say, in the Lake County Jail, was on tell about him going to college in the service. I've gotten 2 black eyes and a broken nose. I tried to run from God and do what I wanted to. I have sinned and am paying for it now. The sin, get this now, folks, listen to this carefully. The sin, he committed this sin 5 times. Get this now. The sin I committed took a total of 1.5 hours. 1.5 hour enjoyment. Committed it 5 times. Now get this. 1.5 hour. And I've been in the county jail 43 days already. What got me in trouble is, listen carefully, I stayed out of church on Sunday night. I thought everything would be all right, but it was easy afterward to miss church. On 2 of the 5 charges, one took place at 9:30 on Sunday morning when he should have been in Sunday school. And one at 8:30 on Wednesday night. I don't have no more paper. I still love you. You did your best. Stupid bus kid. I love him. Knew him well. One of the finest boys we had. And that's just one of many. Somebody said, Pastor, have you changed? I think this is the way I've changed, if at all. I have more compassion on those who fall into sin. As a young preacher, before you've tasted the bitter with those who are drinking its last dregs, and before you've seen what the evil one can do, sometimes it's mighty easy to find somebody who's fallen into sin and gone to deep sin and become harsh and impatient. But after you've seen the evil one lurk in the shadows and lie and destroy and steal and ruin and rob and wreck for 33 years, I feel like you feel a little more compassion on those who stumbled. Somebody said, Pastor, have you noticed our church is having more divorces than ever? Yes. Pastor, it seems like that more of our people are in deep sin than ever. That's right. You say, what's causing it? I tell you easily what's causing it. 20 years ago, folks, we had 715 folks in Sunday school. Now we have 20 times that many. That means we have 20 times as many weddings and 20 times as many funerals and 20 times as many babies born and 20 times as many preacher boys and 20 times as many good, clean Christian people. But it also means, sad to say, we probably have 20 times more people who fall into sin. Now this means that we'll be shocked more often than other churches. We'll be blessed more often. We'll see more people saved. We'll see more preachers go from our church. We'll see more young people turn out right. But it is sad but true, since we have the most of everything, we'll have the most heartache. I suspect this mouth of mine smiles more than most preachers and laughs more. I also suspect these eyes of mine spell more tears than most preachers. Why? Because we have more of everything. Now, what should we do? As we get bigger, and as we face the reality that we're human, we're maybe the best of men, but we're men at best, and we see this one stumble, and this one fall, and this one do this, and this one do that, what should be our attitude toward them? Please don't turn me off now. Please listen, because you need to hear what I've got to say this morning. In the first place, don't write them off. Don't write them off. No matter how far into sin they are, don't give up on them and don't write them off. Look, if you would, in history and in the Bible and in the lives of our own people. And you will find, ladies and gentlemen, that some of the greatest deeds that have ever been done for God have been done after people committed awful sin. 3,000 people got saved in one day. What a meeting. Folks there from every nation under heaven. A church was started. 3,000 converts the first day. A marvelous preacher stands up and preaches the message. Who is that great preacher? Who is that marvelous man who just preached in power? And after whose sermon, 3,000 people came and got saved. Who is it? Same fellow that a few days ago was cussing, denying he belonged to Jesus. It was after Peter cursed and swore and said, I don't know him. I'm not one of them. It was after that that Peter preached the mighty sermon on Pentecost. A missionary gives his life in India, martyred. His last drop of blood is shed, looks up to heaven, and his spirit's taken into heaven by an angel. Who is that missionary who loves God enough to give his life? Who is that man that's gone to the distant shore, distant land of India, from Palestine, and given his life there as a martyr? Who is it? He's that same fellow who said, I don't believe he's risen. I'll not believe till I see the scars in his hands and in his side. I'll not believe. It was after Thomas doubted that he became the great missionary that went to India and gave his life for the cause of Christ. Man wrestles
all night with God. He wrestles with God until God calls him a prince and changes his name to a prince. And who is this prince? The same fellow that stole the birthright from his brother Esau. First of all, that fellow is the same fellow who lied about the blessing and deceived his own dying, blinded dad. It's Jacob. It was after Jacob deceived Esau that he became the prince with God. It was after Jacob deceived about the blessing and stole the birthright that he became a prince with God. And don't you stop to realize, ladies and gentlemen, or don't forget that those people who are in sin, who've fallen today, they still can be reclaimed for God. Dear Lord, take up the tangled strands that we have wrought in vain, that by the skill of thy dear hands, some beauty may remain. It may be that you've gone to the depth of sin and broken your preacher's heart, but I'm not going to give up on you. No, I'm not. It may be it looks like there's no future now, but I'm not going to give up on you. It may be that you've committed a sin that's brought reproach to you and those who know you and love you, but I'm not going to give up on you. It may be you're down at the bottom and nobody loves you. Well, I got news for you. There's no preacher preached up here every Sunday morning that loves you. And he's not going to give up on you. I'm saying, don't write them off. God is speaking to a man. He says, write this. This is going to be inspired. I want this to be a part of the Bible. The man picks up his quill and begins to write, and the Lord God says, put these words down. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Who is that man? That's the same man that killed Uriah, got Bathsheba. It was after David sinned that he wrote, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me beside the still waters. It was after his sin that David wrote those words. A man opens a rescue mission on Calumet Street. His one arm opens the doors of the mission. It was after Brother Sullivan owned three taverns in this very city that God made him the superintendent of our rescue mission. A man writes the Gospel of Mark. His name is John Mark. It was after he had turned his back on God's plan for his life on Paul's first missionary journey. After him, the power of God comes on a man. He raises up the pillars of a house and wins the great victory. His name is Samson. That was after Delilah. Oh, don't give up on that son in sin. Don't give up on that daughter who's broken your heart. Don't give up on that church member that's made ashamed of the gospel. That one that's broken our hearts can still be used. And may I say this morning, to those of you who've fallen, you still can be used. It may be that you will not be a gold piece anymore, but you could be a piece of silver for Jesus. It may not be that you could be a mighty oak anymore, but you could be a pine tree for Jesus. It may be that you couldn't be a great ocean anymore, but you could be a little rill for Jesus. It may be that you couldn't be a great peak or mountain anymore, but you could be a small hill for Jesus. There's still something for you to do. Life is not over because you stumbled. Life is not ended because you've fallen. There's still something God could use you to do. First thing I said, don't write them off. The second thing I say about those among us, and we'll have them, those among us who fall. That is, folks, and let me beg you here, please listen to me. Be patient with people who fall. Be patient. One of our number slips into sin. Our folks find out about it. By the way, far too many of our folks find out about it. Far too many people find out about it. One of our own slips into sin. Brother Hiles doesn't take the axe out the first Sunday and chop them down. And in my mail, I'll get a letter. Yeah. Let them sin. Folks get by with sin, aren't you? Yeah. Yeah. Anonymous letter. Won't you do take so-and-so off this job? Won't you do this and that? I'll tell you why I don't do it. Because I'm trying to be patient, hoping they'll come back. That's why. By the way, a 10,000 times rather wait too long than operate too soon. I'd rather have too much love and wait a day too long than too much quickness, maybe, and operate too soon. Here's a couple. They say, our young folks are going to the devil. What's wrong with our young folks? And they have a hard kind of a harsh attitude. And then one day, the principal calls and says, could you come in, please? When you come in, the principal says, your son has taken marijuana. We found it on him. He admitted it. It's a little different then, folks. It's a little different then. That's when you change. That's when you realize maybe it could happen to you too, and to your boy. Here's a lady, critical of divorce. And well, we might all be. But she's, anybody gets a divorce, or if a divorce is granted, there's a hard kind of a, I don't believe in it! That shouldn't happen! And then one day, her husband doesn't come in. And she finds he's in a distant city somewhere. Please listen. Please listen. One day her husband's gone. She has no more patience the next time with those. I'm not speaking for divorce. I'm speaking for patience on those who fall in sin. I'm pleading with you, those of our own. Listen, when it's your child, you beg for patience. I got a letter this week, a distant state. Said, my brother, member of your church, he's fallen into sin. Please help him. Why can't you take some time? The truth is, I probably spent more time with that brother than I spent with any five people in this church in the last year. And I prayed and cried and prayed and waited and had patience and lingered and tried to salvage him all these years. And she wrote a harsh letter and said, why can't you help my brother? And of course she should. She loves him. And but let me say this. When it's yours, then all of a sudden you believe in patience. Let's not be hasty. And then may I say this, the third thing I want to say is, let's don't make the loved ones suffer any more than they've already suffered. Is it true what I heard about your boy? Don't say that. Don't say that. Well, I want you to know, I'm praying for that wicked boy of yours. Don't do that. Don't do that. Listen, folks. Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. Some of the finest people in this room today who've done their best, they think, and yet somehow something was done that was wrong. They don't know what they did wrong. They meant well. They tried to do what was right, and yet their children didn't turn out, or maybe their husband is gone, or maybe their son is on dope, or their daughter's living with a gang of people in an open sin in the commune somewhere, and they didn't mean to do bad, and they're good people, and they need our love, and they need our prayers, and they need our encouragement. They don't need us to hold their sin. Listen, it's always before them anyhow. Don't hold it up so they can see it. Love them. Don't make it harder on them. Ladies and gentlemen, let me say again, we're all human. This is flesh here. That's a sign of my humanity, the cough I have. And you have signs of your humanity. These glasses mean I'm human. And the fact that I comb my hair over this, it used to be a bald spot, now it's a bald head. The fact I comb my hair, that means I'm human. The fact that I get tired and weary means I'm human. The fact that tears roll down my cheek means I'm human. All of us are human. Let's be patient with each other. There'll be times when you'll be shocked as I am. And there'll be times when somebody over here who's been strong, a man came to my office this weekend and said, I don't know how it happened. I don't know how it happened. I know how the Savior was. The Savior hated sin. The Savior looked out at people before they went into sin and said, don't do it! Don't do it! The devil's a thief! He's a liar! Sin is black! found the woman taken in the act. He forgave her. When he found Mary Magdalene possessed of 7 demons, he made her a servant of himself. When he found Zacchaeus, who'd been guilty of awful, awful extortion, he forgave him. When he found a Matthew guilty of the same thing, he forgave him. When he was dying on the cross, he looked to a man that had never committed, never given a tithe in his life, probably never been to the house of God, never done a good deed. He looked at that dying thief, a man who was guilty and condemned and never joined a church and never took communion and never got baptized. And our Lord said, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Our Lord hated sin and warned with a scathing denunciation those who were headed towards it. But never a one came to our Lord with a repentant heart. But what our Lord forgave him, there was patience. There's one little verse I read this week, and I've loved it all week long. It told about the sheep that had gone astray and how it had gone out into the wilderness. And it said the shepherd looked, and here's what I've been thinking about all week. He sought him till he found him. Till he found him. You'll not know who this is, and I wouldn't betray anybody for the world purposely. But after folks go into sin and it's too late, maybe they feel sometimes they can't come back to this church because they feel like they can't face the music. I still love them. And I love them if they continue in sin. A certain couple in this church went into sin. I loved them with all my heart. Two of the finest people I knew. Just because they went into sin didn't mean I don't love them anymore. They went to another church. I sought the pastor of that church and had a talk with him. And I said, "Those are good people. They've been members of my church for years and not a single mark on their record. So they have one now." But I said, "Be good to them. I love them." And I said, "Try to help them. And as much as you do it to them, my brother, you're doing me a favor." I want to hate sin, but I want to be patient toward the sinner. There's a next thing I want to say, and that is, don't speak of it. Don't speak of it. When you find something or somebody has done something that's going to cause them to forfeit, don't tell anybody about it. There's no need. Unless that's the person that can help. You might tell me, or Brother Colston, or Brother Sullivan, or somebody can help them. But don't talk about it. Don't let your telephone receiver, don't let your telephone even know it happened. Just talk to the person that can help, and talk to God. I've said, don't write them off. Be patient. Don't make their loved ones suffer. Don't speak of it. And then may I say this, when they come back, restore them. And forget it ever happened. Are you listening? You heard me say this often. My legs still hurt from the peach tree limb in our backyard. We had a peach tree out in the backyard, never did have a peach on it. Not sure a bloom ever got on it. Because those blooming limbs tore my little old... I wore short breeches when I was a kid. When I was a kid, you didn't wear long breeches till you were 10 years old. Hot pants didn't just start, buddy. 43 years ago, I got out of hot pants. And boy, my little leg sticking out. My mother'd go out in the backyard, and I can see her now. Oh, listen, she looks like the executioner at the electric chair. She'd get that mean look on her face, and she'd come back toward me, and she'd be shaving those leaves off that limb. She'd say, "You're going to go to the devil, but I'm not. You're going to go to the devil until I do my best to keep your hands You gonna do it again? No, I'm not gonna do it again. You gonna do it again? No, I'm not gonna do it again. You gonna do it again? No, I'm not gonna do it again. No mercy. None. None. I'm sure the neighbors thought she had a boy that was going to go to the penitentiary someday. I dare you to go see my mama this afternoon. Mrs. Hiles, what kind of boy was Jack when he was a boy? Oh, he was always a good boy. Never gave me one moment's trouble. She gave me a heap of moments of trouble, I guarantee you for sure. One moment's trouble. Never did. You know why? Because she loves me. Yeah. So often folks come to my study. And that's Brother Hiles. I never have forgotten how good you were to me back yonder 5 years ago. I did some wrong. Honestly. Scout's honor. I don't even remember that they did it. Why don't you get your forgetter fixed? Huh? A man went out to sin, got right, came back to church the next Sunday, and the first fellow that saw him said, "Welcome home, prodigal." Needless to say, he didn't come back anymore. One of the best men we had. Lost forever. Because of one fellow that could have said, "Good morning, how's the wife and family?" Act like he hadn't been gone. Restore him. Those who are spiritual, restore the one who sinned. The spirit of meekness and forgiveness, lest you yourself fall in the temptation. Somebody said, "Brother Hiles, I think you're compromising." I don't think so. But maybe when it's your own, it's a little harder to accept it. I got 4 or 5 letters this week. "Brother Hiles, at the school, my daughter or my son got too much punishment. They're mistreated." Now, listen carefully. Funny thing about that. If that happens to your neighbor's son or daughter, you never write me. See? It's not justice you want, it's justice for yours that you want. You say, "Is that bad?" No, it's not bad. We're all the same way. We're all the same way. What you don't realize, folks, and I'll close with this, what you don't realize is, in a real sense, they're all my kids. And you're all my people. And I'm going to try to preach you right, and pray you right, and love you right, and wait you right. And then, when all else has failed, it may be I'll have to come to you with tears. "I'm sorry, but maybe you shouldn't teach that class anymore." I'll tell you what you do. The day you decide you want to make it right, you come back. And I'll kneel with you in my study as I did with a man last night. We'll pray you back to Jesus. He who has perfect love and complete compassion and sublime tenderness. When a brother is taken in a sin, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. Our Heavenly